See you all just chatting it up and talking with each other because you're lively, you're alive, and it's good. And all the connections that you all have and are making with each other, very important. And you know how much energy we spend in our minds? It's up here. The energy's in our minds. Trying to do things better, trying to be something better, trying to be bigger, trying to be more. And I always hear the same complaint from people that go to those places that I'm trying to be like sometimes. And it's this. They miss this. They miss the connection. They miss the interaction. They miss that it matters if you're not in your seat. I know you're not there. You know, you're not here. Like, you're missing. You're MIA. And you go somewhere else, and all of a sudden, it doesn't matter. And we can look at things, and it's not just church. It's a lot of things. We feel, wow, you know, if we could only be like that or have this or whatever. But you may feel this in your home all the time. If we only had a new car, if I had this, I had that. But let me ask you this about your household, about your relationships, about what matters, where the rest of your life is spent. Is there life there? Do you have friends? Do you love your husband? Does your husband love you? That's enough out of you.
We're thinking on that one.
Comments from the relatives here. Do you love your Chris is normally quiet, but once he starts. The question when you get to heaven could very well be, did you love well? I did, and I built, and I went, but did you love well? Did you love? Well, you didn't know who I had to live with. And so, people, whatever else we do or don't do right around here, if you're loving well, and you're loving one another, and you're building relationships, we're going in the right direction. And I love it that you're alive. What bothers me is when you're all quiet and disconnected and shut down. And I've been concerned as the father of this house that we have a lot of things going, but I've been concerned about our level of passion. Now, I don't talk about that because you can't demand, hey, get passionate, you know, get more lively. Let's do this with all of our hearts instead of just showing up. And I realize it has to start right here. It has to start with leadership. It has to start with who's leading. Like, these things are changed by the changes happening here. And in today, there's this aliveness. So I don't know. So, you know, we come, we're here day in, day out, and sometimes you feel things, and sometimes you're all coming in with a whole lot of stuff going on. And life is life. But this pursuit of passion, I just want to see us become passionate. And it begins right here with me. It begins with each one of you just being fully alive in your life and identifying what you're to do and doing it with all your heart. And as the Holy Spirit shows us what is your part and what is not your part, what's your life mission, what's your thing to put your hand to, and what is not, and you go, because these will be the things that no one actually is stopping you from. Because we're like, well, if this happened or that happened, or if I got recognized, or if I had more money, or if I, you know, we have all these things running in our mind. If things would change, I could be better. If some things would happen, I could do this better. And you're always running an argument in your mind, your excuses, your excuse meter going, you know, why you aren't, why you shouldn't. You can't even live up to your own standards some days. Do you ever run into that? Like, oh, who you, you know, who you competing with? Myself, my perfection, my perfectionism, I think I should be. And it's so anti-health, like it kills us, it destroys us. And I just want to encourage all of you, pull back a little, identify what it is you're to do, and do that with all of your heart. And do simple things and small things well. Keep your word, keep your promises. Take care of your relationships. Take care of the people, because you lose that, you may gain the whole world, but you're in trouble. And if we grow like that, if each of you grow in identifying what is your thing to do, what's your job to do, what are you to put your hand to do, and to do that without excuse, without bother, that, wow, amazing. I'm going to get to a scripture in a little bit, but I'm going to start out with a movie. I watched a movie last night. Where's Brady's not in here, but I watched this movie years ago with Brady and Robbie. And there was a season of time when Phyllis and Karen were running off to Kentucky all the time, and on weekends, and it was great. And that meant I got to, you know, whatever on the weekends. So Ashley was still little, so it'd be me and Ashley. And then, you know, sometimes one of those trips, I had a whole group of kids there that stayed with me while all of you went to do something spiritual, like go see Benny Hinn or something. So, but I made a memory with the kids and with who are now our young adults. And this one weekend, Robbie, they stayed with me and Ashley, and I think it's just me and the three of them. And we watched a movie. Do you remember the movie? Finding Bobby Fischer. Yeah. Finding Bobby Fischer. Searching, that one. Finding Forrest Gump. You know, there was Finding Forrester was another with Sean Connery. This is Searching for Bobby Fischer. And Phyllis had recently watched it and said, and she realized she hadn't seen it. That's because she wasn't with us when we watched it. And then I'd literally forgotten it. Interesting movie. Most of you, how many of you ever even know, not even on your grid? Wow, amazing. So I wrote down some of the actors. I don't think I brought that page up that I wrote this down. Bobby Fischer was a chess player, born in 1943, died in 2008. He was like possibly the best, you know, that ever lived. Like, he was that amazing. He could play scores of people at the same time. They have pictures walking down. He'd play this game, come and make this move, then go to this set of tables. And all these people were playing him, and he could beat them all. Was like, he was like extremely amazing. So this story, oh, I wish I'd have wrote it down. His name was Josh Witzkin. Does that sound?
Josh Witzkin.
Witzkin, yeah. Witzkin. Witzkin. I can't pronounce it. It's almost as bad as Lotzenheiser. It's a great introduction to my message. You can see how good this is going. Stick with the Bible, Pastor. Anyways, this in this, he's a young 7-year-old boy, and all of a sudden he has this amazing ability to play chess, and it gets discovered in the movies about him. It's not so much about playing chess, though the movie's great. It's about this little boy and about the story that proceeds as he begins to do this in New York City. And he's the picture of an individual. This was genuinely who he was in real life. He was a boy, and he grew up to be a man, of course, that lived without contempt. On the contrast of that is Bobby Fischer, who held the whole world in contempt. He was probably a savant or something, like major intelligent. He was very focused, just like really, really anal retentive about his playing and what he did. And he actually had little regard for people. And towards the end of his life, he didn't live in America anymore. He lived somewhere else. He was there's a word I was telling Phyllis. It's like, it's not immigrant. It's emirate. It's almost like immigrant, but it's emirate, but it's French. That's why I can't say it. And it means it's a person, like people that are seeking political asylum. Like, he lived that way. He lived in another country. He lived in Iceland. And because he was trying to avoid taxes or something because of some of his winnings. But the contrast of this little boy learning to play chess is that he had no contempt for anyone. And as he got a teacher, he got into very serious competitions, and he goes on to be very, very, very successful in this. His teacher was trying to teach him to hate his enemy, and he just couldn't do it. And told him, stop going to the streets of New York and playing those guys in Central Park or wherever they were always playing. Like, get away from them, and you need to not play that way, or you're not going to win these competitions. But he cared about these people, and in every game, he had this compassion. He never lost. He's just a child, but he just played the game. But he cared about people. And in one of the matches in this movie, showing as he plays this one boy, this also very intense, and he realizes he's going to win the game. It's a very tough game in a big tournament, and he realizes in 12 plays he's going to win the game. I'm doing good if I can get through one day. Thinking, you know, he's like looking at a board and able to go, I win, you know, that kind of thing. He looks at his opponent. Could you do this? He reaches his hand across the table and says, draw. And the other kid's like, he was pretty obnoxious. He's like, he looks, I'm gonna beat you. He goes, no, you lost, right? You already lost. Draw. Out of compassion, to not make him feel foolish, like to let him have honor. Now, wow. Wow. Who even does that, especially in competition? Competition is a good thing, but I hate the part of it where you hate people you're playing against. I hate that. I don't like that part. Do you have to hate your opponent? And you'll see this in coaching staffs and high school games and football and basketball and whatever. Am I on track? And there's this thing. If you don't keep your eye on that coach, he's teaching your kids to hate the other, you know. Well, we got to all come to church together. So it doesn't work when there's opposition between Southern Local and Lisbon and Carrollton and, you know, these tribes come together and meet on Sunday. And they're from the tribe of these school districts. They become about that, you know. And then you add parents in there. It's such a beautiful picture of what the church needs to be, what we need, and what we need to bring into our culture. Being a people that have no, that don't have contempt or hold people in contempt. Bobby Fischer, as excellent, as brilliant as he was, as what he held the whole world in contempt. Just like, you're all idiots. Here's this little boy, Josh, that refuses to do that. I mean, it's a great movie. It's just great. It's just really good. It's neat. And I'm like, wow, what a picture. It's that choice, and something prompted me to recently listen to a teaching I had on my computer, but I hadn't finished the teaching. by Katie Souza, and it was about, the subject was living unoffendable, like living where you're never offended. Whatever. Good luck with that, you know, or like, whatever, you know. And I've been talking about the prosperous soul and going after this, had no idea how much this was going to open up. And the subject came up again, and we begin to examine, and Phyllis and I have had a lot of conversations about this. And when you look at the subject, you think you're good until you look at it and go, oh my God. I'm against this, that Christian behavior thing, teaching Christian behavior, but not being changed inside. So I went, uh-oh. I'm managing my appearance of being offended, but I still have things that have crept in. And I start to really get into this, and I realize, there's some things here. Well, in this teaching by Katie Souza, I'm going to go through the scriptures, go through some scriptures. She really lays out two things to do, actually. And the first we get, the second I missed. And so we're living in a culture, and I'll take time. Instead of blasting through all this today, I'm just going to take some time, some weeks. And I'll say this. This message, number one, is extremely liberating. And number two, it's not about going to the people that have offended you or whatever. That may be, but this is about working this out right here, getting free right here. Then whatever else there is to do, you'll know to do, and it'll be the Spirit. But primarily, we want to get free here. When you realize the elements of this, you'll be like, wow, we're living in a world that is functioning out of offense. This is big. Do you understand? People move from one city to another city often out of offense. People marry other people out of offense. Offended with home, offended with mom and dad. Find somebody that'll take you for a moment, so you marry them. When you're offended, you make some really bad choices when things are out of offense, and it can be a very passionate feeling. It can be a very big driving force in your life. And there's offense in our communities, and it's through the whole fabric. This is the heart of racism. Do you understand that? This is the real racism thing. The real heart of it is that there was offense with a people group. This group of people have wounded me, treated me a certain way, or their behavior offends me, and now I don't like any of them that have that color of skin. I don't like anyone that comes out of that particular nation or that part of the world. And all of a sudden, that's what it's about. It's not, you don't know this individual, you just hate them because of what their race is. So, can you agree with me that this is a huge subject? Our school districts, once an offense happens in our school district, because they really represent the tribes, the areas, the regions we live in. So there's some stuff there naturally, because we're prone to belong to tribes and groups and whatever. We haven't civilized ourselves that much. We're not that far from, you know, from the grassroots. And once something takes place in a district, an offense, or a city, something happens in a city, an offense takes place, do you understand that stuff doesn't just go away? It doesn't just dry up like the rain. It stays, and it keeps functioning. And what if we really embrace this? Once that's there, sickness comes into play, disease comes into play, your finances going to crap comes into play. Oh, okay, you got my attention now, you know. A lot of things happen once this is there, and the Lord's wanting to deliver us. We need to be a people, the church needs to be the example of a people who are unoffended. I'm telling you, if you get a chance, watch this move. Searching for Bobby Fischer. You've got to watch this. Watch it and watch this little boy and realize this is the picture. And he continued to love basketball and be a little boy and have Legos all over his floor and whatever. And at one point he goes, maybe it's better to lose than it, you know, to just get out of being the best so I don't have to live under this thing. How tragic. That describes most Christians. Maybe I just should screw up. It'll take the pressure off of everybody watching me. This is why the complaint is about hypocrites. Everybody, you know, the church is full of hypocrites. People are hypocrites. It's because you feel watched. It comes out of something. There's an uneasiness in your life. So all you need to know to do is to point fingers. I don't want to go there. They're all a bunch of hypocrites. Whatever. We all are. There's no they. It's we. Us. Interesting. We are chronically offended. Phyllis and I were... We went to breakfast yesterday morning. That was neat. Like, we don't do that too often. We just did, you know. Coming back home and coming through Lisbon, we stopped at the fruit stand there. And we're there. We're talking to the man. And they've moved their location where this one fruit stand always is. And he put up a kind of a lean-to pool building type of thing where all of his stuff is. And he was telling us he's getting charged so much a day because... find so much a day because he needs to get asphalt in and get rock in and whatever, and because of the regulations. And I say, oh yeah, I know all about regulations. We just build a church, you know, like you are like in your, you know, you're it's right up close and personal. Regulations, like the original design was to have three windows on the side. Three was a good number, but somebody said, no, you can't have three. You've got to have four. Was just like, all right. It'd be better if we had none, because we have to fight with the light. No, it's just funny, you know. So if you allow yourself, everything you go to do, like it was so hard to get to this point. If you were on the journey, you know how hard it was. It was mission impossible. We couldn't get to first base because the permits were unaffordable. The parking area, the retention pond, the storm, like there's like $80,000 just in a parking lot, and in the country, like for the love of God, honestly, really. He makes this comment about the regulations. It was like, yeah, boy, you know, it's tough. And we get in the car and we're driving home, and Phyllis and I, we just get in this neat conversation and we talk about. Yeah. And he said, there's a church down the road that had to shut down because of their parking lot wasn't big enough. So that stirred up a conversation, like, whatever, the parking lot probably wasn't even full, but what is it, you know, who knows what was going on? And do they really need, you know, was it really an issue? But it was a regulation. So it gets you on the track. You're all like, oh yeah, it's bad, you know. We're driving, and I look at Phyllis, and I said, but we're not offended. And stop the conversation, because it was like we weren't upset. We were just having this conversation. But it shows the fabric of our culture. We're offended with everything. Everything is an injustice. And you take offense at it. And what if that's affecting us really badly? And what happens? I'm going to show you what comes. Sometimes this whole subject of passion, where's our passion? Interesting what the culprit can be. Interesting what can shut down things, what can shut down the Lord working in your life. Look at Isaiah. Let's look at some scriptures. Like I said, I'm going to get out of my no rush mode. Easy, Pastor. I go home, I go, why do I do that? Where am I going? You know? Better to just slow down. The lilac bushes are blooming. Do y'all, like, any of the rest of you have any lilac bushes? Like, they smell so amazing this year. Like, just walk by and go, wow, you know. Slow down. Smell the lilacs. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 6. Let me get there. Isaiah. This is, like I said, this is going to be an amazingly liberating message, because you're going to find out something. It's going to change how you pray about yourself. And we're going to uncover, and I really recommend, listen to Katie Souza. This is one of her big themes in life, and just YouTube it. I mean, it's all good. We get down to verse 26. Let me catch up with everybody. Isaiah 30, verse 26. Maybe that's why I didn't tell you where I was going, because I wasn't there yet. And the second half of the verse, it starts out, more of the light of the moon will be as the light of the sun. The light of the sun will be sevenfold as the light of the 7 days. In the day that the Lord binds up the bruise of his people and heals the stroke of their wound. So there's implications in other versions. It uses the word sin, I think. And it's the Lord binding this up, the bruise of the people, and heals the stroke of the wound. So we're going to look into a subject here of what sin causes. Sin causes a wound in your soul. And I've been talking about this, and I was so delighted to listen to Katie Souza, and she's like really saying this, like, this is a big deal. We need healed, and if that doesn't get healed, you can repent all day. As soon as you're exposed to the situation again, that thing will be right back up. And we're like, wow, I forgave them. I got over this. I whatever. And then it's still active, because there are wounds. Sometimes the offense is from being wounded, but sometimes the offense is the result of, or the wound is a result of the offense. It can be either way. But when sin comes in, you didn't just do something wrong. It affects your soul. There is a wound, there's a disease, there's something that starts. So you not only need to plead the blood and get free, well, I'll look at the scriptures, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but I want to say this. Not only need to repent for things, but we need healed from it. We don't think we need healed from anything, we just think it's our fault. And things start hitting your heart, and you start having reactions. We all react different to our heart getting hurt. You understand that? Men included. Don't act like, oh no, I'm tough. The men sitting in this room are some of the most sensitive people in the whole place. The women are much tougher. Let's just say that. That's why we hide it so well. We just have manly ways of dealing with that. Bling. I'm done. Not going back. What's that about? Often it's about protecting a hurt, a wound. What if the Lord, you find out, like you really realize, the Lord cares about those wounds. Like, he cares so much, he really wants to see you free. He really wants to heal that and touch that. He's made provision. We can tap into that thing. That's exciting. Look at Psalms 41, verse 4. Psalms 41. I said, Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. See? If you aren't paying attention, you miss that. Those two things. I've sinned. Now my soul needs healed from the sin. Again, maybe I sinned because my heart got wounded. Maybe my heart got wounded because I sinned. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. All that you need to pay attention to is you get affected. When you get offended, there's this thing that has happened to your heart. And it's good, like we go, this is bad. We'll talk to each other about it. We'll repent from it. We'll say this isn't right. But it won't leave. It just hangs in there. And you rehearse the scenario, the comment that was made that got to you, or the situation. And you rehearse this, and over goes and plays in your mind, and you're defending yourself, and you're justifying why you were right and why it was this and why it was that. And you never get to the thing. Like we don't have the tools to really deal with it. We just try to push it down in something, tuck it away. And then when all of our friends say, I can't handle your bitter spirit anymore, then we're like, then we, instead of getting free, we just hide it better. We just need to talk freely about this a little bit. Like, don't get offended. Oh my gosh. Have you ever said to somebody, hey, I want to tell you something, but don't get offended? Have you ever done that? What if I told you that's nonsense? Like, what if I told you, don't do that no more? Like, if you have something to say to somebody, you need to just say it and let them react however they're going to react. And I'll have people do this. Like, hey, I want to tell you something, but I don't want you to get mad at me. I'm like, just save it. just keep it to yourself. I'm good. I've been beat up enough. I've got enough, I've got enough punches, sucker punches over that, somebody telling me something. Now, there are times when you need to speak to somebody about something that's tough, but you don't control them. Don't control how they react to you. If there's something sincere you need to say, then say it and allow them to. It's not yours. It's interesting how when you're just taking care of yourself, it changes everything. And so we need healed from this. Heal my soul, for I've sinned against you. So there's this correlation. Do we get to, where are we at now? Okay, let's go to Psalms 147. Verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So, like, oh yeah, whatever. No, really, he does. He wants to heal the brokenhearted. When you have a broken heart, we need to stop feeling condemned about it and realize, oh, I got another wound. We need to return to our kids that go, boo-boo, I want a Band-Aid on this. Kiss it. We need to get back to this. Kiss this. Like, I don't want to kiss that. And so as grown adults, we kiss all kinds of things that we normally wouldn't be kissing, right? Why? Because they're our babies. They're our grandchildren. They're our little ones. And we want them to know we have good hearts. We want them to know there's, and it's just crazy how magical that is, isn't it? I watch this all the time with little ones. Once they get their kiss, they're good. Melissa, tell us, is there any medical reason that a kiss will heal a boo-boo? I know. None. Ridiculous. Man, it's amazing medicine. Or laughter. Get them to laugh, Point is, they're good about this, identifying a hurt. And so we need to treat our hearts the same way. You don't outgrow this thing of being able to be hurt. Now, once our heart is whole, I'm hoping we're not getting hurt every time we walk through the grocery store, right? I mean, you know, little toughness. If I bump myself, it's like no problem till there's infection there. Till there's a problem in that part of my body, then I'm like ready to jump out of my skin, right? So it sometimes doesn't take anything if there's an area there. So if we start handling this well and get a grip on it, really eradicate offense out of our life, and you can't do it unless you get understanding about this, how much the Lord cares about touching you, healing you, making you whole. John chapter 5, verse 5. John 5, 5. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity, 38 years. It's a long time to have an infirmity. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been, that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made whole?" The sick man said, like, "Of course I do. Yeah, sir. I have no one to put me in the pool," et cetera, et cetera. Jesus heals him. "Rise, take up your bed and walk." So later in verse 14, this interesting thing Jesus says to the same man. So at that moment, there's nothing about sin. Just here, I'm going to heal you. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well." So the healing manifested. He's made well. And what does Jesus say to him? "Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." So whatever the sin was had caused in this case, in this incident, the sin had caused an infirmity. So the infirmity was healed. Jesus adds this. Now, don't sin anymore. Now, we don't know what that sin was. And the whole time for 38 years that he's sitting by the pool of Bethesda wounded, he may have still been sinning. It may have been an offense. It may have been a bitterness. It may have been a thing. It may have been a sin from his mouth, that he, how he talked, what he talked, what he said. It could have been anything. But that the sin caused the sickness. And once he was healed, the instruction was, now don't sin anymore. And I have a feeling that that guy knew exactly what he's talking about. He went, you know, you ever see somebody get serious? Like, yeah, oh, yeah, that. Don't do that because it's directly related. Why did Jesus tell him that? Because he didn't want to see him sick anymore. It's not that he didn't like him. It's like, yes, sometimes this does cause. Not all the time, but sometimes. In James chapter 5, verse 16. And I am going to switch to my amplified version. James chapter 5, verses, it's actually 15 and 16. The prayer that is of faith will save him who is sick, and the Lord will restore him. And this was about calling the elders and anointing him with oil. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Verse 16, confess to one another, therefore, your faults. And then in parentheses, the amplified really goes into detail, right? Your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continued, the passionate prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. So now let's look. And I'll close with this. I'm not going to take this on too long today. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. And 57 and 58. Matthew 13, 57 and 58. Jesus went back to his hometown. He's doing miracles. He's doing signs and wonders. It's Jesus. Jesus has come to town. Jesus is doing what Jesus does. Someone began to talk and they went, wait a minute. Isn't that Joseph the carpenter's son? Like, don't we know his brothers and sisters? Aren't they here in the midst of us? Who does he think he, what? We know this kid. We know this guy. And as scripture says in verse 57, so they were offended at him. Offense can slip in the funniest way. Here's Jesus just healing people. And because of familiarity in this case, like, hey, we know this kid was playing in the streets when he was little. Like, he played with our kids. We know, who does he think he is? And they were offended with him. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. Verse 58, interesting here what's going to happen. Hang on. Now, he did not do many works there because of their unbelief. We know this scripture. Do you know the verse preceding? The culprit to unbelief is offense. Being offended. And folks, I'm telling you, I don't want you to go home in condemnation. I want you to go away and start looking at this because I want you to be free in every area of your life. And I'm telling you, we're offended a lot, and it's culturally acceptable. And I thought I was doing pretty good, and then I went, oh my gosh, it's here, it's there. It can be over the funniest things. It can be over, we're living in the political atmosphere right now in this intensity. Oh baby, it's easy to get offended all over the place, isn't it? And start having things in your heart where I don't like them. That's not legal for us. That's not legal for us. They can do that, but someone's got to lead an example of what's different. And it's fine to have your beliefs. It's fine to have values. It's fine to disagree. That's not a problem. It's that moment you pass into judgment and you're offended at them or they are offensive by their nature and you despise them. You just contaminated yourself. I use this excellent illustration. I was having a moment with Jesus last Saturday in my backyard, and I walk up to one of my pine trees, and I'm trimming them up. And a while ago, these weevils have come and attacked our pine trees. And they also came and got the ash trees. They died quickly. The pine trees are dying a slow death. And what happens when the evil weevil bore holes in the trunk and it begins to seep. It's like, and I'm trimming this tree, and I remember this tree. I'm having this ridiculous moment with my tree. I remember when we first moved here, and there were four little baby pine trees in the backyard. Boink, 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 boink. And I'd mow around them, and every year they grew a little bit more, and pretty soon I couldn't go in between them because they were getting bigger and bigger. And this top one was always had this crooked trunk. It's funny what you remember. You don't even realize you know it, but I know it. And I'm trimming it up, and it's trimmed up, and I'm not cutting it down yet because that's even more work yet. And I look up, and I almost started crying, like, this is this little baby tree, and it's dying. It's bleeding to death. I could look up and see all this white sap running down the trunk as far up as I could see. It's like bleeding out and slowly dying. And that's a perfect picture of us. And I was praying about this thing in the areas of offense and getting very serious about eradicating it out of this most secret places of my heart, like where I wasn't even paying attention it was there. And I thought, oh, maybe I should make a list. I went, no, I don't have to make a list because this is a rotating, this is a Rolodex. These things come up. They can come up from way back. All of a sudden, a memory and a reaction in your heart, like a bitterness, a bad feeling. Just follow that. Go, oh, hot spot. It's like having a little metal detector, and you go, and all of a sudden it's making noise because there's metal under here. It's not exposed on the dirt, but you go, you dig there because you go, there's something under here. Just pay attention. It'll show up. And the Holy Spirit wants to bring these back because we need to pray through these things. And I don't want to belabor this, but I need to tell you this, and we'll close with this. We know how to repent from sin. Yeah, we got that. If you're sitting here, hope you get it. I'm sorry, I sinned. And we plead the blood over, like, cleanse me from my sin, wash me from my sin. But what we don't do is we don't ask for the healing power to come over all of these things. What has happened to us, the wounds in our heart from the sin. An offense leaves a deadly disease that'll kill you slowly. And you may carry the stinking stuff all of your life and make it to 75 years old, but you're bleeding out. You do not have to look bad at 70 or 75 or 80. You can still look great, full of life. Look at Dwayne and Senia sitting here. They're not even close to quitting, you know? Aren't they amazing? What is it? Because they're not walking around in bitterness. Do they have their issues? Oh, yeah, they do. But they go after stuff. Like, they keep it current. I can talk about them since they're not here. But isn't it a beautiful thing? Because they're wholehearted about this stuff, and they don't, and you hear their real story, they've got things to be offended over. You don't know. You don't realize what they've been through. You don't know the stories and the situations and the thing. They got stuff to deal with too. It's not like they live these perfect lives. They haven't. They've had things happen. Stuff happens. They even lived in perfect California, and stuff happened. What can be wrong in California, you know? So you eradicate, we need to start, I release you to start praying for healing for your wounded heart. And especially in the areas where you've gotten offended. And you may justify it all day long, but that's not going to help you. You got trash, man. You got a disease. You got sick. Your heart got hope. Some of us, if we would see a picture of our hearts, our spiritual hearts, like our heart, soul heart, I don't know. I don't even care. We all know we got one, right? And it's not the thing inside of your chest that's pumping. And a picture of all the cuts. And what if those aren't healed? What if you have all these cuts and these wounds and none of them are getting healed? Oh, my gosh. Are you kind of like a touchy person, ready to flip off, flare off on the simplest things? You see, every one of those wounds then becomes a button, and then you're walking through life and someone touches it. They have no clue, and they just went dink, and you go, ah! Like, oh my gosh. Or you touch something else and just trash, like, immediate. This is real. This is how this stuff works. And we'll come back and we'll go, whoa, wow, this guy at the gas station, holy crying out loud, like I, whatever. We walked into Bob Evans the other morning. I don't know if you were, I don't think you were standing there with me. And there were people in the foyer, and we got in, and I the guy standing at the, what do you call him? The hostess. Yeah, host, the host. The hoster. The holster. And he looks at me, not paying, and I don't know who's, I do know. I realized, I didn't, but I do, I did. I'm the new guy here. Everybody else has already been here. I just walked through the door, popped in, and he goes, you know, how many? And I went two, and I went, and all of a sudden I became aware that there was a guy that was just already standing here. Actually, there was a whole family standing behind me. Because it was full and I stepped around the corner, he like just assumed I was next. And I wasn't next. I'm like, I knew. There's only one place. I was last. And I went, whoa, and I caught it. Like, thank goodness, you know. Like, I might have got mobbed right there on the spot. I'm like, oh, no. I said, no, actually, I said, he was here. I said, actually, they were all here first. Yeah. You must not have been at that station very long. I'm the new guy. Whew. Got out of that one. Do you know how quick, though, people can flare up over just something like that? What if there's more to it? We go, ah, how ridiculous. You don't know. You just don't know where they were yesterday. You don't know what news they just got 5 minutes ago. You all don't know what I just experienced or encountered on any given day. And one day I'm here and I'm happy Jack and I'm good. And the next day you come like, what the heck? I mean, some of you found me in this, like, I'm just intense. Like, you have no clue. And maybe I can't even tell you. I wish I always could. Sometimes I can't get out of myself because I'm processing something and it's intense. And if I was 100% healthy and whole, I wouldn't have to go through that as much. But anyways, I'm not there yet. Getting there. Offense is that movement in your heart where there's a judgment towards someone, where, and it can be caused by a lot of things, but your heart moves and transitions, and you hold someone in contempt. That's why I use that illustration from that movie. You hold someone in contempt for something they've done, how they raise their kids, how they treat something, how they treat their animals, how they do this, how they do that. Life is full of us seeing things that can be offensive to us. What if you started going, it is never right for me to be offended? It's appropriate sometimes to say, that's not good. That's not a good behavior. But that area of offense where you hold them in contempt and you judge them, where there's a judgment in your heart and you know it's here. You've moved from compassion. You've moved from just saying, that's not right. That's bad. But there's that difference. What if we eradicated that? Do you understand? I believe that the heavens will open. If heaven's waiting for us to get this off and get this out. Because it's just how things work. And you start going out after this, and healings can be spontaneous. Stuff can just start breaking out. Like, there was a great atmosphere here today. It's not always like that, is there? I don't know why. I wish it was always excellent. Today there was a liberty and freedom. We were praying for each other. It's like, yeah, that's good. We're being church. Talking our heads off, you know. But if let's get healthy, let's get whole, let's be ambassadors of this thing. I've been saying this. The world needs us to be who we're called to be. They need us to be unoffended and unoffendable so that when we see their stuff, we can speak the truth but not be offended with them. That's your calling. That's your destiny. That's your commission. That's the commission. So let's pray today. Father, in Jesus' name, and this is what you need to do over everything that comes to your mind. You can do it bang, bang. It's that simple. And then you've chosen, because you really can't fix yourself. And you really can't keep yourself. But you can make some choices. Choose to repent and choose to ask for healing. So, Father, in Jesus' name, anything that's coming to us, and maybe in this atmosphere, we're not going to be aware of anything in particular, but to practice. I ask your forgiveness for my sin, even the sin of just being offended, because I'm not allowed to judge and I'm not allowed to go there in my heart. So it's always wrong, and I repent from it. I can give you the reasons and excuses, but they don't matter because I've sinned. My heart moved into an offense with something or somebody. So I choose to repent from that, and I ask you to cover that with the blood. I access the blood of Jesus. The blood, the cross, is to forgive my sin. And I have sin again, and I ask for the blood. I just declare the blood over my sin. And now, Lord, I ask for healing for my heart, and I am going to start. I'm going to humble myself and realize I can be hurt. I can be hurt today. I can be hurt over things that don't make sense to anybody else. Every time I get offended, I wound my spirit, my heart. And every time, and sometimes people say things or do things or something happens, and my heart is hurt in it. There's a cut. There's a tear. It's a stab. It gets to me. I just cry out for the dunamis power, the power of the resurrection. I cry out for the same power that raised Jesus from the dead to heal my heart. And I choose that. I ask for that. And I expect an encounter that you'll start healing my heart so that I don't have to act like I'm not offended, so that I will become unoffended. If you heal me, I can walk in freedom with whoever, whatever. If you'll heal my heart, heal me. I want to be free. I don't want to act free. I want to be free. I want to be alive. I don't want to live a life of hiding, protecting my heart from everything, and blocking off everything that's scary. But Father, in Jesus' name, heal my heart. Heal me today over everything that I think to ask. And help me to understand that there is a wound, there is a disease, there is an effect on my heart over every one of these situations. And if there's still pain, then I need healed. It's that simple. And if it's gone and over, then I'm good. There's just a mark where it happened. But every area that I'm sensitive in, every area that there's still an ache in, there's still a pain, there's a saying, I ask for healing. I need healed. I need to access all that you have for me. And Holy Spirit, I just ask that you'll begin to bring things up. It may even stir us up a bit in our lives. But we want to be free. I want to be free from this because it's affecting my finances. I want to be free from this because it's affecting my ministry. I want to be free from this because it's affecting my marriage. I want to be free from this because it's affecting me interacting with my children. I want to be free from this because it's affecting everything I do. And our goal is to prosper, even as our soul prospers, to be in health, to be well, and to be a testimony and an example so that we can be about your business and we can carry healing and touch, and we have answers. And I ask that you will just, in the days ahead, that you will just infuse us with the ministry of reconciliation. Give us words and testimony, because our culture is just full of this. It's all around us, and it's killing us. It's killing us. We have a great task to perform, a great thing to do. Father, meanwhile, I ask for a peace to come over our body. Every individual that's striving, peace be still. We commit ourselves to you. You will make us what you want us to be. You will move us if you want us moved. Lord, the striving is just the temptation to strive is there all the time, to be worried and anxious about our life. We just cast all of our cares on you right now in Jesus' name. Just cast it on you. Cast all our cares on you. Cast all our cares on you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. May the Lord give us testimonies about this. May the Lord give us, so go after this. We're going to stay on this subject for a while, and wow, it's liberating. It's great. It's great. So, amen. God bless all of you. Have a good week.